Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But it is Women History Month. So on that note, thank you for empowering all the young girls at our gym.
So cool to see. Yes.
It's really amazing. And I'm absolutely, I love seeing the young girls walk around with confidence and moving barbells and just feeling good about being strong. Because even just a few years ago, that was not the case. And the amount of girls and boys that message me all the time about wanting to get stronger and have more muscle is really amazing.
Between the Reps with Brooke Entz and Gina Chancharulo is a CastBox original produced alongside Studio 71.
CastBox is the fastest growing and highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts.
You can listen to Between the Reps wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hello, this is KKSF, KKSF Smooth Jazz on KKSF. Today we're going to be playing the hits from John Coltrane. And we have their special friend. Is that the trumpet?
On that note, welcome to another episode of Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina. And we are joined by our bestest friend, Daniel Jahangard.
Jahangard. Daniel Arya. Jahangard.
Very, very.
Are you
very
Irish?
Well, happy St. Patty's Day.
Yeah. So, on that, I'm going to have you speak a little Farsi, Gina. Oh.
Okay. Salam. Halei shoma. I don't know how to answer it, though.
Khuba, merci. There you go. You know.
Just a little bit.
The Farsi.
I know the Farsi.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So what are we doing, guys? What are we talking about?
Oh, well, we're just going to, you know, give you some props here.
Gina's going to intro you. Hey, guys, we have two microphones. I'm going to order us a third one today because this is cool.
I just feel like I should just hand it to you and just, no. I want to interrupt you. Okay. So Daniel has developed a healthy habits program that he teaches at SF State. Very cool. Keep going. You don't just teach it, though.
Oh, I was waiting for the crows to stop. Yeah.
Well, you don't just teach it, though. You helped create it.
I helped create it, right? Yes. And And every week we go and teach a class.
Very cool. Yeah. But you don't just teach one class. You teach like three classes,
right? Three classes one day.
Crazy.
So pretty much essentially what it is it's a class that with the goal to bring to light with a lot of these students. It's an under division course for SF State in the Ethnic Studies program. And it really just wants to highlight, why is working out important? Why do it? What are the benefits as we age and our bodies change? You know, what are some reasons to resistance train? You know, progressive overload training, things like that. And I just try to use as much science, evidence-based articles, bring it to it, and try to debunk a lot of the myths.
How long have you been teaching this course? Because I remember when you first were starting, it really was like you had a, like you were able to kind of create what you wanted, right? They knew what you wanted. They wanted you to get out of it, but you had to sort of put everything together.
Oh,
you
yes.
built it. What was
the curriculum?
Right. I helped create the curriculum. And it took years to get approved by the NIH. It took years to, you know, and every semester we try to improve upon it as well, right? But now we're pretty much getting the flow of it and moving forward with it. And the feedback from the class is pretty awesome. We make them do everything from food logs to, they have this like multi-million dollar gym at SF State that like half of them never even walked into. So pretty much like go and get exposed to it. They write reflection pieces on like what they like, what they didn't like, the intimidation, the unknown, all this. And then we just try to like give them the tools, like why it's good for you in every domain. And then how can we like get more confident and get more exposure to sort of like take away this like fear and of being like so scared of this gym.
How many people are in your class?
So the classes range between like 15 to 25 people. And there's 3 classes each semester that I teach.
Okay. Do you, I guess, like feedback, because you've been doing it for so long too, what has the feedback been for you? Because I think for me and Gina, you were so used to you going and teaching, and your confidence in the curriculum has gotten even better as you've been able to build it. Is there a process, I guess, in which like who's like checks and balances, who's like maybe checking on curriculum or deciding where you guys might want to change things? Or is that done just within like the teachers, or do you guys have something where the students give any feedback?
Oh yeah. So the students pretty much do like a little mini survey Monday, in the beginning of the semester, in the middle of the semester, and the end of the semester. And then using that feedback, try to sort of what they liked, what they didn't like, what did they value, what do they want more of next semester. And then every semester we try to take that feedback and then try to make it better and better.
Give me one thing that was like maybe the most comical feedback someone gave you, or something that was like so maybe ludicrous that you were like, immediately we're like, nah, like disregard that. And then one thing that you felt like you definitely wanted to implement, like change wise. It doesn't need to be like a huge change, but.
Man, that's a hard question. So one thing that people wanted to know that was ridiculous was how to do specific diets, when I always talk about like not to do diets.
Yeah.
So that's always like the one. It's like, okay, cool. That's so cool. I totally get what you're saying. Oh my God, I got it. So how do I do keto? So how do I want to do that? So that's probably the most ridiculous, because it's just like went over their head, or they didn't understand the grasp of what I was trying to teach. The thing they really want to know, which I wish I had more resources to teach, is how to lift correctly. Because the last couple classes, I bring barbells and I bring all these things, and we just go over like basic movements on how to squat, how to deadlift, how to press. And we just, yeah.
Do you just lug those out of your car?
No.
Like, schlepping up to San Francisco an hour with all this stuff in your car? Or do you steal it from the gym?
First of all, stealing is such a strong word. Borrowing.
Do you borrow it?
Borrowing for prolonged periods of time is pretty much what I do. And I just take my friend's cars that have, you know, nice Beamers or Jeeps that have a big trunk space. And I just, I just wrap it around blankets.
Hope you got a big trunk, because I'm going to put my barbell in it.
Yeah, so... So essentially that's what I do to take that. So they always want more of that, which I wish I could give more of.
Yeah.
But with one person and like 15 to 25 people to teach them how to lift all the time, it's kind of like, it's very time consuming. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's what I wish I could do more of.
Do you see like the possibility of, I guess, the program getting more funding and being able to have equipment there for you, like giving you more things to help you have like the tools to, you know, make even bigger changes and stuff that you feel like will be a really good positive change or add on to the whole program?
Oh, definitely. The goal in the beginning was to try to get it implemented in schools, for actually how we will segue into this, for the kids.
Yeah.
And to have this, to give them like a healthy habits class, to do resistance training with all the kids, and to give them access to have like on-site containers for them that we would take out and use it. So that eventually would be the long-term goal. But right now at the moment, we're just trying to move it on, keep it alive.
Yeah. Well, Daniel did say it's a segue. So what we really wanted to talk about today was kids CrossFit, really just like kids and training.
Yeah.
DJ has been teaching for over 10 years. He's run 2 affiliates and currently runs and manages the program for CrossFit West.
Right.
Not only is he, I've been to a lot of CrossFit gyms. I travel a lot. I've been there where I'm in the building when classes are going on. I'm not necessarily taking the class, but I'm watching people teach adults, but I'm also watching programs for kids. And I would say a lot of the ones I've seen could use a little bit of work. And I don't think it's that people don't want to put work into teaching kids. I think it's a couple of things. Some people maybe aren't quite educated enough on how to teach children, and through different ages, and what they're, you know, what they're physically actually needing and what you need to be careful of. And this is something that you've been doing for so long. That's you right. were teaching a kids program at CrossFit Maxim.
That's right. Yeah.
When years I met
ago,
you.
A long time ago.
And
that was what, like 8 years ago?
7 years ago?
Yeah.
A long time ago. And I mean, from then, you were like hands down the like world's most excitable man. It's so good for kids. And so we wanted to have you on to really talk about your introduction into teaching kids,
okay.
maybe when you realized that you were really good at it, and how it has been building your kids program, because you have students that they've been with you since you started.
That's right.
Doing kids programs.
That's right. So I'll say I started in pretty much college. One of my best friends, Sam Allen, was like, hey, I run this basketball program. It's a bunch of kids, different ages, you know, from like 6 years old to like 15 years, right? You know, do you want this job? I was like, sure, let's do it. They ran me through this, I don't even know how to explain it, this process of like try to like filter out what trainers to get, certain personality types. And I'm talking, they would have you in groups like 15 and 20, and they'll just walk up to you and give you a mic like, hey, you, stand up in front of everybody and talk about winning $1 million. How would you go? Boom. You have 60 seconds. So like you just had to be on your wits super quick, right? And they would run you through all these types of drills.
This was the interview?
This was the interview. You had like hundreds of kids like for this job, right? For this basketball camp.
Right.
Hundreds of like
teenagers, college guys. Oh, so you're saying like when you say kids, you mean, yeah, older.
And then you're in this program. They split you up in like groups of 15 to 20. And then they run you through different stations. And depending on how you perform at these stations, they like take like 10 of them. You know what I mean? And it was this like rigorous process. And all my Sam was like, hey, you just got to get out of your bubble and just be a kid. And I'm like, dude, I got that. I watch cartoons still, right? I can do that.
Yeah.
And so they ran you through this process. They filter you out. They do like this name game. And it's like, all right, you, hey, random person there, name five people in the circle. And you just had to be present, I would say is one of the biggest one, and just like eager to like give 100%.
Right.
And then from there, we ran the kids program where the motto was, you just got to wow these kids. Right, these kids are living this in a generation where they're like super plugged in. How can you keep them away from their phone for 1 hour? Right? How much magic can you do? Because if you're on your phone texting and like, yeah, go 200 meter run, you good, you got this. And then like, you know what I mean? And then you know they're just like, this guy's on his phone Snapchatting. I'm a Snapchat too, right? And so being super present with the kids and then just being so like comfortable being out of your shell, I think is probably one of the most important things I learned at that basketball camp. And I pretty much teach my adults the same way. You know, they're just a little bit more mature jokes.
You definitely you know do, I mean? And I love it.
Just a little bit more mature groups, but I've always been a very, very positive person. And in that camp, again, they keep saying everything's all positive. High fives and chest bumps. And so taking it to the kids class from the first day, essentially it was such an easy transition for me. You know, you're with these kids, you listen to them, you listen to what they like, you do all these icebreakers to get them out of their shell because everyone's so like, you know, so cold and so like, you know, what's the word? Yeah, they are.
Sometimes scared, quiet, well, I feel like they're shy.
I feel like the generation is raised on tablets. It's like the time of Wall-E. You know what I mean? These people like don't really have social. Yeah.
Wall-E.
You know, the social skills aren't like, you know, they're not eagerly, hey, how you doing, teacher? Yeah, I'm really excited to learn weightlifting. You
I
know,
don't think any kids do that.
I don't think any kids do that.
I feel like you would have done that as a kid, though.
I don't think
any
kids do that. But yes.
If anything, I imagine that getting into weightlifting for kids in general, unless they are children of parents and family that are
100%.
Into automatically like 99% of them are going to be resistant to you telling them to grab a barbell.
Yeah.
So you have to be very creative, not only in how you teach, how you approach, how you, you know, break the ice, but also it's not just that, but you've like for our case and not to segue, but to create an environment in your gym with people in the gym that also can, you know, are exuding, like positivity when it comes to training or weightlifting, you know, for men and women both. Right. So,
yeah. And so, you know, with this kids program, it's definitely important to do that, right? You want to set the tone from the first day. You get a new kid, right? They are so scared. And again, I'm telling you, it's just like adults. First day, you coming in, everyone's like laughing and high-fiving. Everybody got half, you know, their shirts on and shirts off, sweaty. And everyone knows everyone. Everyone knows where everything is. And you're here like, oh my gosh, this is like the first day of school. You know, and I just try to make it as fun and loving as possible. And the environment that we try to create in like our kids program is they're just one big tribe and one big team. Even if they don't like each other, which they will learn to like each other, right? They're just one big team. And so we make like the older kids take care of the younger kids. You know, they put the clips on for the younger kids and it's just very like tribal. You know, it's very, very cool.
Yeah, we're still usually training when kids class starts.
That's right.
So we always get to watch them like all lined up. And you teach and you teach them in the way that I like to coach, which is a little bit like you want everyone to move at the same time.
Right.
You line them up. They're learning order. They're learning how to follow rules. They're learning how to listen. But again, even with all of like the orders or the, you know, like telling them like what's up next or, you know, getting them to listen to you and do what you ask, you always sprinkle in so much fun and so many jokes that it's like, it's fun to listen. You almost want to listen because you might miss a joke that you want to hear. That's me on the sideline watching you coach. So,
you know, and it's funny, like, I'll try to see, like, what's trending and all that. Like, what are they watching? Like, oh my gosh, did you guys see that last episode of Riverdale? I know, crazy. And then just to, you know, even though I don't even watch the show, I just, like, know, like, what they watch or stuff like that, just to make it relevant and bring them back down to, like, have fun. But the order thing is so true. Everything is organized great. They know where they're lining up. They know where they're facing. They know who they're sitting next to. They know who they're sharing a bar with. When we organize rowers, they know it's going to be perfectly separated. They know everything. And they've been, again, they've been conditioned to that. They understand it. It's not even a second question. And if they're lazy with it, it must be like their first day.
Yeah.
Because after like weeks and weeks and going on, they know the program. And it's not like it's like military at all, but they just know like, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
This is how it's organized. This is because of my safety. This is like what I need
to
do.
Well, it's like a little military in a very positive way.
Yes. Yes.
It's like because order is nice and it's clean. Yeah. And also you've created such a great environment for that.
Yeah.
And like a very positive, you think positively when you think, like when I think about like military, when I'm coaching or when I'm watching you or how we talk about order, it's all the positive things. It's never, there's no negative connotation.
Right.
And then when a new kid comes in or even a new adult comes into class, because you run the class the same, it's way easier to fall into class and for anyone to help. You can like look around and people are moving in a way that's very organized. And so it doesn't feel messy. I've definitely been to gyms where it's a mess.
Right.
You know, like you don't know where anything is. Someone takes your stuff in the middle.
No,
like,
oh my gosh,
you're about to start and all your stuff's gone.
I know.
So you've done a really, really great job in building the program. And I do want you to, before we take a quick break, can you tell us like one vivid memory you have from when you were in the training for a basketball camp?
Oh, you want to know? Yeah. Okay. So the one memory I had is they pretty much, they go up to you and in front of everyone, they have this guy that with like a camcorder and it's like, hey, so they give you a mic just like this. And they're like, you just won $1 million. And they just wait for you. And how crazy you can be. People will do backflips and you just, again, the definition to get out of your bubble and just show that you can be a child, right? And so it's how crazy you can be. And I just remember I was just like, I want $1 million. And I ran through the basketball court and I ran all the way around, opened up the back. I'm like, $1 million. I went through the back. I'm like, I can't believe it. You know, just like that.
World's most excitable man.
That's me.
That's where it started.
I would have been like this.
Fired.
Like, you would have been like this.
Yeah.
What? Wait, did I really?
Did you do it? Did it work?
Do it again. What? Sorry, I love it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's, I can like connect to that sort of feeling even when I very first started coaching.
Right.
Like I grew up singing and dancing and performing and I always am, I'm always more comfortable maybe not so now, I was always more comfortable performing in front of people I didn't know.
Than people you know.
Than people that I knew.
Right.
And a lot of people, it's like opposite. Like they're way more comfortable making a fool of themselves in front of people that they know. But it's almost like I cared too much what people that I knew and cared about what they thought. And I remember when I started coaching, I had like this mindset. I remember I literally was like, okay, you have to fake it till you make it.
Yes,
and it wasn't like fake my knowledge or fake my, you know, my experience. It wasn't that at all. It was fake my confidence in my ability to run this class and have attention from people. Yeah. And being a female with like coaching adults and men.
Right.
Like I really had to like, I really came into who I am, which is like, if you meet my parents, they're both like very confident, powerful, fiery people.
Yeah.
My dad, for sure, I have this where you might be talking about something and be really passionate about it and it comes across like you're mad or like you're like loud. And like, I had times coaching at West where the class would be so big and I'd stand up on like the plates and I'd be trying to get order, like creating, like I need to see all of you move. If you're moving at the same time, I can see when someone's fucking up.
Right.
if you're all over the place, can't help you. Yeah. And I'd have times where I'd get like on a soapbox about something and I would be like talking to everyone. And the gym, our gym is massive, you guys. Yeah. Like we're DJ coaches, and where we train, it is so big and it gets so loud. And at the end of my rant before we'd start, I'd be like, I'm not yelling at you. I love you. I'm just passionate. This is not me getting mad at you. And I'm now learning to control that. I'm like trying to control that voice.
It'd be funny if she was like, shut the hell up, I'm talking.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't, it's like, just use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
You suck. You suck. No, no, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just passionate.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but I definitely had to fake it till I make it. Yeah. And did you feel like that, like even in that moment when they're like, you won $1 million?
Oh, yeah, for
sure.
You're
like, I got to freaking.
I had both sides. I had like my best friend that I like hold in high regard, Sam, right there.
Yeah.
And then I had like 15 other people I have no idea who I am. So I had like no win. It's like I could have faked it with people that I do know or people that I don't know. So I had to just go as crazy as possible. I'm like, I want to impress my bro. You know, I want to impress my buddy.
I just want to know, like, did you have to go after the guy that did backflips?
No,
and you were like,
way.
Great. If
I saw someone do backflips, I would have to try to do a backflip.
I've seen you try to do a backflip.
I would do it with no hands. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You just flat back yourself.
Yeah. Oh, he really wants the job. Give it to this guy. You know what I mean? You know, it was always so easy for me to like connect with kids. And I really do think because I am a big kid. Yeah. And I think that part of it makes me, I believe, successful with them. Because no matter their age ranges, I can relate to them in some way. And, you know, with the ladies and with the guys, you know, having them like share bars together and all that is really cool. Like having the girls share bars with the guys, it gives the girls confidence. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It makes the guys realize like these girls are strong. And
I love watching the boys.
Yeah.
Like the boys in the class.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Like they come in and now like when they start like getting older and you can see like maybe one has like a crush on the other one.
Oh, for sure.
And they always like go in early and they always like try to like do like extra pull-ups or something and like look over and the girls are just giggling, like not even paying attention.
Right.
It's really cute.
It is really cute. You know, and again, it's this culture where they're all like enjoying being where they're at, not with their phones and just lifting weights. They don't even know how cool they are. And I always tell them, I was like, you guys don't know how cool this is. Do you know where else they're lifting weights 3 times a week, squatting, pressing, deadlifting, cleaning? This is so cool. And then they're just so confident when they come in. Hey, can I grab a heavier bar? Hey, can I do this? I was like, yeah, can you squat it? Okay, you look okay? Yeah, you go ahead. Because they're so much more resilient than we give them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And parents, I think the hardest thing for me would be the parents are always great, but every once in a while you get parents that are just worried because they don't know.
Yep.
Right? And they try to interject and they try to come part of your class.
It's either that or it's like probably a form of dance moms.
Which, what are the, I mean, I know dance, okay, but yeah. Gina probably doesn't know dance. So
I mean, she did have a ballet break in her foot.
That's right.
Ballerina break in her foot.
Yeah.
Dance moms, I mean, that was a show.
Okay.
And I would say it's like, you're not going to have that extreme everywhere, but like, a stage mom.
Is this on the
mom.
Bravo?
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be like a parent coming in that like, and I doubt you've had this,
right.
That probably knows more than the other moms or the a little bit overpowering.
Like trying to coach them.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Or like asking for things and wanting this.
I've had that maybe like once or twice, but I think for most of the parents that come, I honestly say, hey, go upstairs. We have like a little loft area. It's like, go upstairs, just watch the kids. And so the kids don't see the parents, so they're not embarrassed, so they feel awkward. And the parents will see, like, you know what? My kid's doing some pretty badass shit. Excuse my language. And,
no,
you know,
okay.
And it's okay. She's going to be okay, or he's going to be okay. And then they realize, like, this is how it's going to be. They're going to be lifting weights. They're going to be moving well. And then this is just the normal.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. All right, guys, welcome back from our little bit of a break. We were talking about
kids program
and the parents was the last thing that we
parents,
had talked about.
Yeah. So overall, yeah, the parents are very supportive and the retention that we have in the kids class is great. Mm-hmm. Once they join, the parents, you know, watch a couple classes, the parents trust me, which I value, and the kids have a great time.
Yeah. You know, something that like I've experienced just with your kids.
Correct.
Right. And some of the parents, because what's cool, too, is we have parents at our gym that their kids have been coming for a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's been and then we do like you'll do Endurance Fridays or on Saturdays. You have like the parents and the kids. They train together.
They'll do the partner workouts.
Yeah.
On Sundays.
Which is super cool.
So cool.
Like, for instance, the winters. What's been cool is like they have both their girls that come, but for a while only one of them would train. The other one did not have any interest in CrossFit.
Right.
And now they're both doing CrossFit.
Now they're both, you know, Reebok shoes. Yes. The Lululemons. All of it.
Yeah.
All of that. And they're 100% in.
And my favorite too is like we had some Entwear leggings that I was having. Me and Gina were having all the girls try on to different sizes.
They loved it.
So we are definitely working on some teen stuff eventually. We have, which will be super cool because we literally have all the kids to try it on and photograph. Right. It's perfect. Other little things that are kind of cool. Like I've had, so like my background is in dance and I've had some moms from our gym that like their daughters go to dance. There's that one story in particular, a girl at dance was getting teased because she lifts weights.
Interesting.
And then her mom had basically showed her a video of me and like that, like just having like that and like that connection to someone who I danced into college and I lift weights was something that could, you know, work as like a very powerful confidence booster for this girl. And she started coming to CrossFit shortly after because she was like kind of scared to do CrossFit because at dance they told her she couldn't.
Right.
And then it was like, I don't know what y'all are talking about, but I can because this chick danced into, you know, for so long and she also lifts weights. And so I think in our environment that you've created and, you know, we add to is it's very important for kids to understand and learn that they can do lots of things.
That's right. Yeah, no, lots of things. And then this base pretty much gives them the access to do, that's what I'm saying. This base pretty much gives them access to whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them too. It's like any sport you want to do, anything you want to do, any profession, if you're just a stronger human being, it's just going to be easier.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense? Like if you're going to play any sport and be a stronger person, it's never going to be like a negative. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and especially with, you know, you both at the gym, working out before the kids come, they hold you both in very high regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see you guys train constantly. They see you guys like enjoying it, like enjoying the process, having fun with it. They follow you guys on Instagram, you know, things like that. And so
a couple of them dressed up as us for Halloween.
That's right. That's right. For Halloween, they dressed up like Brooke and Gina. That's right. Yes. So good, you know. And, you know, it's cool to see you guys lifting because then they see, you know, strong women lifting in front of them before that. It just primes them to, you know, make my life easier during that one hour, so not messing around too much.
I know that this topic, you didn't know if you really wanted to talk about it, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm very passionate about this.
Okay.
So we have, like, in CrossFit, one, like, our season is, like, so weird this year and, like, really unknown. And, like, this upcoming year and the future of like, the actual CrossFit Games season is kind of unknown.
Correct.
The future of CrossFit, it's going to be big because we have a big community and we love camaraderie, at least overarching theme.
Right.
Every individual gym can be different and people are different, but we love camaraderie. We love competition and it's a very fun time experience for us as a community to go and, you know, enjoy Wadapalooza you know, all these other competitions that are really fun. But I have like, it's getting to where not only in our sport, but let's just say, in pop culture for kids and teens, like even my nephew is falling into this a little bit of like, I don't need school because I'm going to go viral.
Oh my gosh.
right. It's like, I'm going to go viral and then I'm going to be famous. And I'm going to have all this money and I don't need to go and do that. I don't need to work hard. I don't need to be nice to you. Like it's very weird. And so like, I talk to kids a lot and I get a lot of teens that message me on social media and I try to message them back. And I'm kind of like you in the sense, like since I was really young, my mom's always told me I'm really good at being able to relate to a lot of different ages of people.
Right.
From like really young kids to like really old kids.
Yeah, right.
Really old people.
Right. Really old kids, like in their 60s.
And sometimes the conversation I have with them is very hard for them to understand, which is this. In CrossFit, we have a lot of kids and teens, like their goal is to go to the CrossFit Games.
Right.
Which is a great goal. But I want you to speak on maybe how you kind of handle this, and I'll say how I kind of handle it. It's a conversation that can be slightly uncomfortable because you have to, like, you kind of tiptoe around this line of telling them it's never going to happen, but also telling them that it could happen. And if you don't try, we'll never know if you can do it. So you have to try. You have to be someone who can commit to that. It can't be a half-assed commitment. Like, you have to commit to it. But you also need to live without blinders on and understand, like, overarching theme of life and how beautiful it is, right, and how you should want to try all kinds of things. And through your young age, right, I would say CrossFit, if it's taught to teens or kids not in the best regard, you're teaching them things that they're always going to have problems with. And I say this because I grew up playing a lot of different sports. And when you do this when you're young, you train in a way that that you develop things like speed, agility, coordination. And then in CrossFit, when you do it in the most basic sense of the term, you get to use them, right, and you might be able to strengthen them, but you don't necessarily learn them.
Right.
And so you can become more advanced in our sport if you have those, you have a really good base. So, like, let's say if kids are going to a really amazing kids program where you're actually learning those things.
Right.
It's the same, very comparable to, like, me when I played softball, soccer, swam, did dance, gymnastics, all these things. And then as I got older, you, like, weed out the things you don't love, or you weed out the things you're not that good at.
Right.
And you start putting all your time into, like, the couple of things you're the best at or that you love the most. And that's kind of how it's, like, natural selection of, like, your sport career, right?
Right.
But a lot of kids are going into this mindset of, like, I'm going to go viral. And they're also putting that towards, I'm going to go to the CrossFit Games. And right, it's like, for me, I have so many teens. I've had, like, and the parents thing. I've had parents come to me and be like, what do I got to do? Right. And I'm like, shit, like, take them to a class? Like, right, don't get them programming. How old are they? 12?
Yeah.
14? Like, I understand that we see teen athletes that are, like, crushing it.
Right.
But also, it's the same as the adults. It's a less than 1%.
Right.
Until you're seeing something where you really want to, like, put all your eggs in that basket, try and encourage them to keep doing it because they love it as long as they're enjoying it, but also encourage them to go and play outside and be a kid while they're a kid, because it's going to be gone at a certain point. You know, like, my nephew is really into downhill mountain biking. He's really good. He wants to do Red Bull Rampage. He's 16 years old. He's incredible at his sport. He did CrossFit. I remember when he started doing CrossFit, what I liked about it for him is it gave him this confidence being a teen boy going into high school and middle school that he didn't have. But he's got this attitude right now, according to my mom, that's very much like he doesn't need to try in school anymore because he's going to be a pro racer.
Right.
And so I go to him and, like, he looks at me and will talk to my mom about me and be like, oh, well, like, look at Aunt Brooke. You know, it's like, I tell my mom, like, well, did you tell him that, like, I never was trying for this? Like, I never went into the gym with this as my goal. I went into the gym just wanting to be better, wanting to try and compete. And on top of that, when I moved to Santa Cruz, I had no money. I had, like, $1,000 to my name. And my first job was washing towels at a hair salon. Like, yeah. Which is just awful. But, like, it wasn't just gifted to me. It wasn't like, I'm going to go viral. I don't need to worry about anything else. It was just a result of a lot of hard work, and it was never my intention. But it's a career, and the things I'm doing is, like, in a weird way, exactly what my mom has told me my whole life I would be doing. Only we always thought it would be on Broadway. I'm not on Broadway yet. But, like, it's a very uncomfortable conversation that, like, I've had with teens, and some of them probably leave thinking, like, damn, you bitch.
Right.
But, like, it always is me saying, it is a career that is not give, it takes a lot of money. You do it because you love it.
Correct.
The amount of people that can actually have a career beyond, like, their, like, years of being an athlete or whatever is very small. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. If it's something that makes you happy and you love doing it, do that. We won't know how amazing you can be if you don't try.
Correct.
But through these young years, just be open to other interests that you might have. And, you know, and try those too. So don't, like, completely cut yourself off from, like, trying swimming or track and field or wrestling or jiu-jitsu or things like that. And my big thing to them is it will only give you more of an edge as a CrossFit athlete if you develop these other skills as well.
Right.
It'll give you an athletic edge. And now that I'm off my soapbox, I'm telling you guys, I'm not mad at you. I'm just passionate. But yeah, I mean, I would love to hear like maybe your approach to a conversation like that. And also because you're around kids all the time, how often do you deal with those questions either from parents or children?
Okay. So I'll go two parts. So the first part is with the doing a sport and all that to help you with the CrossFit and all that, I think 100% agree, right? Get exposed to different groups of people, different kinds of movements, things like that. With our programming in general for us, what we do is we're very like strength-based. So I always try to articulate to these kids, no matter what you want to do, let it be sports or the CrossFit games, you got to be strong. And I think that same with the adults classes, they lose these fundamentals that you need to build this strong base in order to build on top of. So with the kids, they squat, they deadlift, they press, they clean, you know, they work on some skill movements as well, but their whole goal is to get stronger. You know, we do like strict pull-ups, things like that. You know, kipping pull-ups, sure, go over the technique, but we try to instill the value, like, for anything you want to do, you got to be a strong human.
Well, and a strong athlete is a safer one, 100%. 100%. Even if your technique might falter a little bit, if you have a strong base, your body is safer than if you don't. Yeah. So focusing on strength, especially with the adults, too, with new clients coming in.
Yeah, and everyone wants to do the fancy stuff, right? They want to do the cool flipping, muscle up, to the rings, to the back pedal. You know, butterfly.
Back pedal.
Right? And I keep telling them, hey, that stuff will come, but you got to be able to do a pull-up. You got to be able to do some push-ups. You got to, you know, to build your base. So that's one thing with them. So we instill that kind of mindset that the strength is the most important. Now, some of them want to be competitive and all that, but that's fine, and I support it, and I will give them, you know, things to work on that I think is specific to them, you know, and whatnot. But they know that when they're doing these competitions, they're using, like, let it be the open, to see where they're ranking throughout the world. So I think it gives them a good understanding, like, hey, if I move up every year 1,000 spots, I'm killing the game, I'm moving forward. That's the right way to go, mm-hmm. right? To the games, if that is their motivation that keeps them coming consistently, sure. I will say, yes, let's do that. That's the goal. It's not going to happen overnight. It is a huge process. Like, look about you. When did you go to the first regionals? When did you go to the first games? Do you know what I'm saying? It took a long, long time of developing these skills. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I was doing CrossFit on and off in college.
Right.
And I was just, because of my background, I wasn't winning there, but I was a good team athlete. So the gym that I went to was like, we need you because you're the strongest girl in our gym. But my focus was my dance and all of that. But I didn't start training, like, to be an individual athlete until the end of 2013. I trained for the 2014 regional, and that was the first time I committed myself to training. But prior to that, I had been doing CrossFit, just not very seriously or consistently to be a competitive athlete. And even when I went to regionals in 2014, I won the first event. I finished sixth place in our region, which was gnarly because there were so many past games athletes. Right. That was the first time I realized how good I actually was. And I had been told that I was good or that I could be good,
but
I didn't know what it was. I didn't see that, you know? So like really for me to get to the CrossFit games, it's not only the years that I did CrossFit, it's the, you know, almost a year and a half of like straight, strict dedication, like every single day, living, breathing. And then more so even beyond that. But for me, it was the years of dedication to all my sports. Right. It's a long time of like being very dedicated to like whatever physical activity it is that you're doing. And it's very cool to see the kids having something like that. I think it's not only good for, you know, physical health, but like really important for mental health. And your tribe that you've created is got to be such a phenomenal support system for them going through like weird teenage years.
Oh yeah. 100%. 100% true. You know, with what's going on?
That's okay.
The confidence they build, you know, with each other and all that, and then seeing how they're progressing. And I know they see it because, you know, they have their little PRs and they have that. So they all know they're on the right route. Yes, some of them want to be competitive, but I think that they realize that if they want to do that, this is the right way that they're doing it. You know what I mean? It's not to do like crazy random stuff, but things that are like progressive. They see the value of it. They see how they're getting better and better each week, each month, right? So, you know, we have a couple girls that this will be their second open event. and they've moved up so many spaces because of this one skill that they can. They could do like pull-ups now. Right. They do toes to bars now.
Right.
You know, and they do a lot of these open qualifiers, which I think are good because you do them in your own gym, right, around people that you love that are all supportive for you. Right. And at the same time, you have this also this web to compare yourself to everyone else to
right,
see where you really are.
Because you're thinking like if you're like the best one, you're the best in your gym.
In your gym.
It's like
yeah.
a big fish in a small pond. And exactly. then it's like that, you know, gets bigger and then yeah. they're able to really see kind of where they're at.
And I'll tell you this. What I do like about those qualifiers and all that, it shows them like what they need to work on. It shows them the holes in their game. Right. And
right.
I
right.
100%.
Humbling.
And that happens to me every open.
Yeah.
Right. Damn. Why didn't I learn how to do muscle ups? Damn. Why didn't I keep doing singles instead of double unders? Right. But you're forced to do it. Right. And so with this, it shows my heart. I really need to work on my toes to bar. I can't kip them. I can do one. So they work on it. I can't do handstand pushups. Okay. Now I'm gonna work on this. Get stronger.
And I think too, everyone, obviously CrossFit's very uncomfortable. Not even just CrossFit, just functional training and training in general is very uncomfortable. Like it's the only way you can have an adaptation. Yeah. It's not comfortable. That's not how you get better. And so it can be very easy for people of all ages to kind of sandbag stuff. Like to kind of get away with the bare minimum. So then running something where either we're doing some challenges at the gym or something like the CrossFit Open, not only does it makes people check themselves and humbling in a sense of like, wow, you know, I can't do these, you know, and maybe it helps them look at, oh, well, we actually do these a lot in class. I just always choose the easier route.
Right, choose that modification.
I don't want to really like hurt that much. For them to get to see other people that have chose to work on those things and see them get their muscle up for the very first time
oh.
or see them get double unders for the very first time. That is like a huge motivator, I think, for people. Cause it's like, not only are you, it's like, you're jealous. You're like, I want to feel that. And I want our community to like celebrate that for me too. So I think that, you know, having that just in the community that we have is another motivator for people to kind of like step their game up a little bit and stop like, cutting reps or,
right. right.
you know, cutting meters.
And that's the thing, you know, with everything that's going on with the CrossFit and all that, the cool thing about the Open is how it brings the whole community together. Right. And I will vouch for that. The magic that happens during that time, that first muscle up, that PR clean, that, you know, extra little push that happens. Coolest thing ever. Right. And these kids, they're part of it. You know, they do the competitions on the weekends. They do everything there. So it's very cool to see, you know, and their programming wise, very similar to the adults, yeah. just a little bit less fancy. That's really what it is. I don't know who that is.
That's my phone.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was like, I don't know who Gonzalo is.
I was He's like, going to clean my car.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, guys. Yeah. DJ, thanks for coming and chatting with us. We're going to have you back for sure.
Okay.
Plus, we have this really cool new equipment.
We do.
That we're really, I'm a pretty much.
I know. So guys, sit down. Hold on. Don't get up.
So funny. Yeah. But thank you for coming and chatting with us.
Yeah,
and for taking
it.
The time. They're still laughing. Guys, shut up.
Yeah, it's okay. Not funny.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to another episode of Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina. Remember to
rate, review, and subscribe. Yeah. Five star rating.
DJ, tell your friends to give us a 5-star rating.
Hey friends. All you friends out there, give us a 5-star rating. If you like kids, right?
If you yeah, like if you freedom, like kids
if you like freedom, if you like, right? 5 stars is what you want to give us. If you want your kids to get stronger, give us 5 stars. If you don't want your kids to get stronger, give us 1 star.
Also, guys, just a reminder, this month is Women History Month. And I believe women have been working out for years. That's
at,
my
at
one.
Least,
my one.
At least
at
years.
Least, yeah, at least a few years.
No. Kill it.
No, but it is Women History Month. So on that note, thank you for empowering all the young girls at our gym.
So cool to see. Yes.
It's really amazing. And I'm absolutely, I love seeing the young girls walk around with confidence and moving barbells and just feeling good about being strong. Because even just a few years ago, that was not the case. And the amount of girls and boys that message me all the time about wanting to get stronger and have more muscle is really amazing. And that's because of, for sure, like people like me and Gina, because I want to have muscles like Gina, but because of people and coaches like you that are creating an environment that makes health and fitness very, very sexy to like adults, kids, and just, you know, to have a really positive, fun life. So thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. Just kidding. I didn't have to turn the camera on.
I know.
Thanks for listening.
There will be no video on this one because we forgot to video.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, but right. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate you.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.